Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, ask an astronaut. You know Chris Hadfield, who's spent so much time in space and who sang David Bowie's Space Oddity in Space, and that went viral on YouTube. He will be on later with his new book, An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. And you can ask him anything about being outside the atmosphere. Do they really wear diapers the whole time, like I heard? Or how space travel changed him as a person. Also, down and dirty in the NFL. Why are Miami Dolphins players defending Richie Incognito, who left a racially bullying voicemail for a teammate? And what's the bigger picture for sports and guy culture? Plus, what low-income New Yorkers really want from Bill de Blasio. We have results from a citywide survey. But first, pity the poor trans fat. It makes French fries crispy perfect.
It's also perfect for the American style of shopping, which is you buy boxes and boxes of crackers, leave them in your pantry. You open this box 6 months or 8 months or a year later.
And they haven't gone bad, said Kanya Shelke from the Institute of Food Technologists on All Things Considered yesterday. Now that the FDA has removed trans fats from the list of ingredients generally recognized as safe, the FDA no longer recognizes trans fats as safe. So, my fellow Americans, we have grown up believing food doesn't spoil.
Is this a big deal for food manufacturers? Yes, it's a very big deal. They have to go back to re-educating consumers that cookies and crackers don't last forever.
Marion Nessel believes food spoils. She is the renowned NYU public health and sociology professor and author of books including Food Politics and Eat, Drink, Vote, an illustrated guide to food politics. Hi, Marion.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. And you know, first of all, I love that job title of the woman in the clip, a food technologist. That says a lot right there. Is that a thing, food technologist?
Oh, absolutely. There's an Institute of Food Technology. There are departments of food science at major universities. These are people who work on things like shelf life.
I stopped in a store on my way in today and looked at some package labels, and I couldn't find any trans fats. I looked at Oreos, Ritz crackers, Fig Newtons, a few kind of chips. They all had the same number on the trans fats line, zero. Is this a moot issue?
It's semi-moot. What the FDA has done is to take care of the last loophole. The big companies that like Kraft that make Oreos and other really major food companies took the trans fats out of their foods the minute that the FDA required trans fats to be listed on the label. There is a little loophole left which says that if there's less than half a gram per serving, then it can be listed as zero on the label, and that's the loophole that this new proposed regulation gets rid of.
I love that, by the way. Officer, I only have a half a gram of cocaine. That's zero under the law for trans fats.
Why? Too bad it doesn't work for cocaine, right? But this will take care of it. Trans fats are artificially produced. They raise the risk of heart disease more than any other kind of fat. They're artificial. They're not part of food generally. There are plenty of substitutes, and I don't necessarily agree with this previous speaker, because I think there are plenty of substitutes, and we've seen that. Oreo cookies don't have trans fats.
And
somehow they figured it out.
I did see on one of those boxes, the crackers, I think, a zero trans fat number, but on the ingredients list, partially hydrogenated cottonseed oil. Isn't that a trans fat because it's partially hydrogenated?
Yeah, you only get trans fatty acids when you partially hydrogenate. If you fully hydrogenate, you don't get them, and if there's no hydrogenation, you don't get them. So it's the in-between stuff that causes the problem.
Right, but could the label then be right in both cases? Could it be zero
sure.
trans fats and include partially hydrogenated oil?
No, it's less than half a gram trans fat.
Oh, that's why.
It's in the loophole. So you have to look at two things to see where they are. And if you it's getting harder and harder to find labels that have any significant amount of trans fats. But trans fats, because of their particular chemical structure, raise the risk of the bad kind of cholesterol at any level. And so getting rid of them is kind of a no-brainer.
Are you okay with a loophole? Is that low a level of trans fats, half a gram, and I don't understand it yet, half a gram per what? I'm not sure exactly.
Per serving.
Oh, per serving. So
per serving.
Has science told us that little is safe?
Not really. And my understanding is that any level is going to carry a risk for it, but obviously the less there is, the less the risk. And the proposed rule will take care of this loophole. So the last remaining partially hydrogenated oil is going to have to be removed from products if they want to have zero on the label.
So, listeners, everything you always wanted to know about trans fats, including the new development that the FDA yesterday has taken it off of the long list of foods and ingredients that are generally recognized as safe. That's a category under the law, generally recognized as safe. Trans fats no longer qualify. 212-433-WNYC for Mary Nessel from NYU, an author of books including Food Politics. 212-433-9692. Are trans fats in my yodels, my ding-dongs, my little Debbies?
You'd have to look at the label to find out. If they have partially hydrogenated oil, there will be some in there.
What does partially hydrogenated mean? You said it's a trans fat if it's partially hydrogenated, but not if it's fully hydrogenated. What is this hydrogenation?
It's adding hydrogen. You have to get into oil chemistry for this, and I do apologize. There are three kinds of fatty acids.
I always say to my guests, my audience can take science and we can take math. So go ahead.
Okay. There are three kinds of fatty acids, saturated, unsaturated, and polyunsaturated. Saturated fatty acids mean that every single carbon atom in the fatty acid has hydrogens filling up every single one of its bonds. This makes it thicker. It makes it solid at room temperature, and it means you have to add heat in order to melt it. Butter has a lot of saturated fat. You have to warm it up in order to melt butter. Unsaturated means that there are some carbon bonds that don't have hydrogens on them, and polyunsaturated means that there's more than one that does that. Polyunsaturated oils are liquid even in the refrigerator. So that's how you can tell without having to do chemical measurements. What hydrogenation does is to add hydrogen across the double bonds in the unsaturated oils and fill them up and make them more saturated. But there will always be some level of I really can't believe I'm talking about this on the radio. There will always be some level of unsaturation left, and it's artificial, so that instead of the hydrogens being in one configuration, they're in an unnatural configuration, and it's that unnatural configuration that causes the problems with heart disease.
Listeners, next week there will be a test. Richard,
questions afterwards. Sorry.
That's right.
About that.
Richard in Bayside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Richard.
Oh, hi. Good morning, folks. My question is: food producers say that they include these trans fats to help preserve food and make them edible after, say, 6 months or a year. Are there any microorganisms that could digest and feed on these trans fats?
Good question. I can't think of any reason why not.
In other words, they are food if you're a microorganism.
Yeah. I'm sure there are microorganisms that can digest them. I can't think of any reason why not.
Richard, why do you ask? Are you getting at something?
Of the preservation.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, no, they're shelf stable because of the increased saturation level. but they're not perfectly shelf stable.
Kate in the West Village, and Richard, thank you. You're on WNYC, Kate. Hi.
Hi there. I was wondering about some labels. They have high oleic oils. They have cottonseed oil and palm oil. I'm wondering if those are trans fats, if they're healthy or unhealthy fats.
Palm oil is one of the substitutes that they're using now in place of trans fats, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and it's because it's more saturated than some of the other oils. It's solid at room temperature because it has that level of saturation. But it doesn't have any trans fatty acids unless it's been partially hydrogenated.
So to Kate's question, if it says high oleic, if that's how you say it, or palm oil on the label.
Yeah, high oleic acid is like olive oil. Olive oil has a lot of oleic acid in it. So that's perfectly natural. It's unsaturated. It's healthy.
But I heard, and Kate, thank you, some of the substitutes for trans fats, since they started moving away from them in the industry, might be as or more hazardous as trans fats, including palm oil. Is that wrong?
Well, palm oil is highly saturated, but the study showed that trans fatty acids are worse for heart disease risk than saturated fatty acids. The big problem with palm oil is that it's grown in the tropics, and lots of people are worried about the rainforests and the tropical areas in countries like Malaysia, where forests are being cut down to grow oil palms. So there's an ecological issue in that a lot of people are concerned about.
In fact, I think Saul in Yonkers has a question along those lines. Hi, Saul. You're on WNYC.
Yes, I guess the guy before beat me to that question, because I'm from West Africa, and the palm oil is one thing that we use every day. And now we've been discouraged about consuming it.
Is the context different, Marion?
Well, it depends on what the substitute is. I mean, this is a situation where industrialization is moving, imported products into an area where the local oil, I'm not sure exactly which oil this is, but some of the local oils are very rich in vitamin A, beta-carotene, and that's something that's good. And they're being substituted for less healthful oils. But I'm not sure exactly what this situation is.
And it's all hung up. But I don't know what the heart disease rate is in Gambia, but you would agree, I think, that not all disease is about the substance, right? So it's not just about whether a substance has saturated fats and therefore increases risk. It contributes to this whole Western food culture and lifestyle that we live. So there may not be a lot of heart disease in Gambia, even if they do eat the local palm oil. I don't know.
Well, I would guess that that's the case. And the Western diseases come in as people start eating more Western-type diets, more meat, more processed foods, more sodas, more of the kinds of things that we just take for granted here.
More on that. Emily in Jersey City. You're on WNYC. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Brian. I'm a longtime listener. You're wonderful, by the way. I really love your show.
Thank you very much.
So I'm a primatologist, and I typically study baboons in Kenya, but I'm part of an ecology and conservation department at Rutgers as well as in Kenya. And one major problem that we're having is with palm oil. It's actually causing a huge loss of biodiversity, not only because they're cutting down forests all over the tropics, but also because the forests where palm oil is found tend to be in peat swamps. And when you take down trees in peat swamps, that releases huge amounts of carbon into the air, and that's also accelerating global warming. So there are lots of hazards associated with palm oil, and you'll find palm oil not just in foods but in makeup, lotions. You'll find it in many products. So I would love it if your listeners could be careful when they buy products and just look at the ingredient list. And anything with palm oil, if you could avoid buying it, would really help the planet.
Marion, do you agree with all that?
I think there's considerable evidence that for what she's saying. And these things are never as simple. Palm oil used to be, in the late 1980s and early 1990s, it used to be the principal ingredient in a lot of food products. And the many nutritionists were very concerned that the high level of saturation in the fatty acids in palm and palm fruit oil were raising heart disease risk, and that the polyunsaturated oils that were in margarines were much healthier for people. And so they were proposing that people switch from butter to margarine and from palm oils to margarine. But then the whole business with the trans fats came in. The oil chemistry business is very complicated, and everything has ramifications. It's very hard to know what to do. But when there is evidence that trans fatty acids are as unhelpful as they are, the FDA has to get rid of them in this way.
Emily, were you suggesting that as a primatologist that palm oil is dangerous not just to people but to orangutans?
Right. That's actually more what I'm not talking really about the health causes or benefits of palm oil. I'm talking about levels of biodiversity. The orangutans actually reached this extinction vortex. Populations can only subsist at certain levels, and because of the palm oil industry, the orangutans have gone under that level.
Oh, I see. It's
and
not
now
that they...
they're actually doomed for extinction within the next 10 years.
So it's about the industry. It's not
right.
about that they eat palm oil and it clogs their arteries.
Right. No, yeah, I'm not talking about people.
Just to be
no,
clear.
No, it's their habitat.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's the forest where they're getting these oils from. And I think that people, I mean, I know that you guys have had people come on about the paleo diet, and I just think that it's probably better in the end to focus on more natural foods that our ancestors ate, because it's also more, it's more beneficial to the other animals and other creatures that we share this planet with.
Well, but is that pro-paleo or anti-paleo? Because the pro-paleo has a lot of meat.
It does have a lot of wheat. That's a good point.
No, a lot of meat.
Oh, meat, yes. Oh, no. Humans, I am totally for humans eating meat. That is how we evolved. That's where our brains came from, I think. There's a level of subsistence that we can keep it at. It's gone overboard with overpopulation.
Emily, thank you so much for your call. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with Marion Nessel, food scientist, food science, public health, and sociology professor at NYU and author of books including Food Politics, as we talk about what the FDA did yesterday, which was to remove trans fats from the list of generally recognized as safe food ingredients. So why did they do this now? This is not news that trans fats are bad for us. Why are we talking about this again?
Well, I'm guessing that the FDA has finally been let loose to start doing what it said it was going to do when President Obama was elected. The FDA has been under wraps for the past several years while we were going through the re-election and all of the other political barriers. And it's I see this as something that the FDA could do, so it did it.
And does this mean trans fats will be banned?
No, it means that if anybody wants to use them, they're going to have to file a food additive petition demonstrating that the additive will be safe at the level of intended use. And that's such a nuisance that by default everybody will find substitutes. That's what happened when the FDA labeled trans fats in 2003. Within minutes, food companies had found substitutes. It's not that hard to do. And when New York City required restaurants to use something other than partially hydrogenated oils a couple of years ago, somehow restaurants managed to do that.
You know, a debate has already broken out here in New York, in some circles, about how much credit Mayor Bloomberg gets for what the FDA did yesterday. His spokespeople are releasing statements saying things like, he led the way for the nation. But I read an article saying, not really. This is a much longer standing federal regulatory process and doesn't really have anything to do with the trans fats and restaurant food ban that's just here in the city. Do you have an opinion about that?
Well, I'm happy to give Mayor Bloomberg credit for anything he wants to take credit for. I think on the trans fat issue, Center for Science and the Public Interest in Washington, D.C., has been working on this for 20 years, and they also get credit. I don't care who gets the credit. It doesn't make any difference. The FDA has acted on it. It's something that should have happened a long time ago, and it's... I'm glad they did it.
So are there trans fats in McDonald's French fries in New Jersey, but not in New York City?
No, McDonald's took the partially hydrogenated oils out of its frying supply a long time ago.
Where would you be most likely to find trans fats in restaurant food?
In restaurant food? And I would think in mid-level mom-and-pop kind of restaurants, the big chains have all removed it. Or mostly removed it. The high-end restaurants don't use it. The major national chains don't use it. And it was interesting because when the Bloomberg administration did this, they tried to get restaurants to voluntarily change their oils. And they didn't get much cooperation. And when they went back to investigate, they discovered that it wasn't resistance or opposition to Bloomberg that was causing the restaurants not to comply. It was that they didn't really know the difference. They didn't understand the chemistry of it, which is quite understandable. So that once the ban went in, it turned out to be pretty simple to find a different kind of frying oil. And it didn't even cost them that much more.
To that point, I think, Zachary and Tribeca, you're on WNYC. Hi, Zachary.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just was wondering, on the subject of restaurants, I have heard honest tales about frying oil, if stretched for a long enough period, it can actually become partially hydrogenated, even if it was initially purchased as an oil that was not in that state. So I just wondered if your guests could maybe, I don't know, confirm or
deny, Mary?
Yeah. Yeah, my understanding is that that's not what happens. Other kinds of changes take place, but you would need phenomenal amounts of heat and a source of hydrogen to do that, and that's not what happens. Using frying oils over and over and over makes them less healthy, but that's because of other chemical changes.
Jennifer in Glenhead on the Loophole. Hi, Jennifer.
Yes. I first wanted to say quickly about FDA. I think they did this because of public awareness, a lot of parents and things getting involved. But with the loophole, I just want to say I think it's really very deceptive because if anybody who knows about servings, they're very small amounts. People usually eat two or three times the amount of what a label says a serving is. So in actuality, they are getting a lot more of these trans fats without really realizing it. You look at the label, it says zero. Zero plus zero plus zero is zero. But if you're actually getting half a gram, half a gram, half a gram, that definitely does add up.
I think it's a great point. Marion, do you?
Yeah, that's why they're closing the loophole. That's exactly why this is happening.
They are closing the loophole?
They are closing the loophole. That's what this is. And in 2003, when the trans fat labeling law went in, the estimated average intake of trans fatty acids was about 5 grams a day. It's now down to 1 gram a day. So there's been an enormous drop in intake, and that has paralleled a steady decline in heart disease risk, whether they're causally related or not, we can argue about. But this is now getting rid of the last little bit. And yes, portion sizes are artificially small, and yes, people who eat a lot of junk food are getting more than people who don't.
Gregory in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gregory.
Hey. You said that saturated oil melts when exposed to heat. Is the body temperature enough to melt the saturated oil?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, these things are easily digested by fat-digesting enzymes.
Oh, I see. So
we don't have any trouble digesting fat. A lot of people wish that we did. Would solve a lot of calorie problems.
Okay, so then if butter is saturated fat, is butter better to use than margarine?
It depends on whether the margarine contains trans fats or not. If margarine is high in trans fats, then it would be worse.
You mean some margarines are and some margarines aren't?
Yeah, most margarines have changed their processes, so they no longer are partially hydrogenated.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
That happened in 2003 when the FDA insisted that trans fats be labeled. Margarine manufacturers found other ways to produce a thick, butter-like product that didn't have trans fats.
Gregory, thank you. David in New Brunswick, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hey, good morning. One little fact to fill in on the food preservation aspect, where the hydrogen bonds to the carbon and makes the oils last longer. The same carbon sites, if they aren't hydrogenated, are open to having oxygen bond there, and that is what makes oils rancid.
And how does that? Yes, so that's a good science point. And how does it relate to our experience with food?
Well, you know, they're talking about the foods not lasting longer now, that you can't use hydrogenated oils. So it's because they're more open to rancidity.
Right.
Well, that's why they're going to use more saturated oils, where the bonds are already filled and not open to oxygen, and that means that the level of saturation of fat in the food supply will be going up.
So that would mean it's a little bit of an improvement, but not that much of an improvement if you're talking about packaged cakes and cookies and crackers, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit of an improvement.
In the NPR story on All Things Considered yesterday, there was a line about how without these kinds of fats, cookies and crackers would leave oil on a paper towel after a while, and with them they don't. And that was another thing that struck me as, oh, we've so denatured our foods that they don't even leave oil on a paper towel, and that's something that we strive for, that the manufacturers strive for.
Well, the manufacturers have managed to find substitutes for this for the most part, so that things, all of these packaged foods that used to be very high in trans fats are no longer. And now they won't have any.
So what's the next step before you go?
The next step, I'm hoping, is that the FDA, now that it's back on the job, will release the menu labeling rules that it's been sitting on for the last 3 years, and also will release the proposals that it has for changing the food labels, which it's also been working on since Obama was elected.
You know, so many people are calling about palm oil, one of the big substitutes for trans fats. We've taken some of those calls. Let me take one more, because it sounds like the concern is shifting, because trans fats are sort of the threat of the past, and it's the replacements for trans fats that are the threat of the future for not being that much better. Would that statement be right in general?
Well, I think they're healthier. Whether they're healthier for the planet is another matter. They're healthier for people.
So one more palm oil question from Jonathan in Bayside. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Brian. Dr. Nessel, I really enjoy the taste of the palm oil straight from the press, which you can get in the African markets where it separates in the jar.
Therefore?
So, and I'm wondering, has the same problems as the industrial palm oil? And if I just use it as a seasoning, like in salad dressing, is that better than cooking it?
I don't know how to answer any of those questions. I'm not sure what you mean by separating in the jar. What separates?
If you make palm oil from the oil press, if they just squeeze the palm nuts, you get oil out of it.
Yes.
And then the industrial vegetable oil is made out of palm oil. That's been homogenized.
Are you asking a cooking question or a science and health question?
Well, it's a health related question about my way of cooking.
And I'm sorry, I don't know how to answer that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, Jonathan. Oh well. Okay, we're going to have to end, because for the first time in 4,715 appearances on this program, somebody stumped Marion Nessel.
I'll go find out as quickly as I can. I've never seen that oil, but it sounds great.
And post it on our page. And there you go. Takes a caller from Queens. I shouldn't say it takes a caller from Queens, but no surprise that a caller from Queens is going to an indigenous market somewhere in the city, buying the nuts and making his own oil. So, all right, Jonathan. All right, so Marion Nestle is the renowned NYU public health and sociology professor and author of books including Food Politics and Eat, Drink, Vote, An Illustrated Guide to Food Politics. Thank you so much. As always, this was very illuminating.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, what low-income New Yorkers really want from Bill de Blasio and higher-income New Yorkers. And just like the election results, the results of this new survey from the Community Service Society are remarkably consistent across income levels. We'll explain in a minute with Nancy Rankin from CSS.